Father God, we thank you so much for your love. Your unending, unconditional, unwavering, powerful, life-changing love. And God, we thank you that you, the greatest lover of our soul that we could ever imagine, didn't send us just a love letter to let us know about your love, but you sent us your only begotten Son to demonstrate for us just how much you really do love us. God, I pray for that soul who's here today, who's never been brought by your Spirit to an understanding of the love of God which is found in Christ. Lord, today I pray that you knock the scales from their eyes, that you pierce their heart with your very love, the love that says you love them no matter what they've done in the past, you love them enough to forgive them of that death by allowing Jesus to shed his blood on a cross to wash them completely whiter than snow. I pray today when they hear your voice, God, they would surrender to the love that up until this point they never could have imagined, but that love that you desire to pour on them today, set them free from their sin and from themselves. Thank you for the love that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible and you've been here with us, you know this. We've been talking about the true gospel, and we've been talking about the elements that make up the true gospel, and we talked about the element of grace. And then we talked about that grace is accessed through God-given faith. You don't just wake up one day with a great idea and that's faith. That's not how that happens. It's a work of God. How many of you understand that? That's new to you. It's changed your life. I hope it has. It's new to a lot of people. It's the oldest message that you could probably hear. We've forgotten to preach it. We've gotten distorted in our thinking. We talked last week about peace, and how many of you are thankful for those who were here last week who were in turmoil, who found peace with God? They found peace with God only because God came to them in that dark hour and offered them peace and forgiveness and eternal life. There are many of you here today who your whole life you felt unloved. Even right now. You have those insecurities. Do people really love me? Does my family really love me? I've done so much wrong, even to my family, that there's no way that they could possibly love me. And sometimes, unfortunately, in the world we live in, your families act that way because they don't understand grace. They don't understand mercy. And they don't understand forgiveness. They don't understand the kindness of God. But you're here today, and in your mind you have said this over and over again. Nobody loves me. I know for some of you, you're so lovable that that's hard for you to imagine. Because you've never had to have that thought. Nobody loves me. Everybody who's close to me just pushes me away, and that's probably the same way God feels about me. Let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you today that is exactly opposite of the way God feels about you. God knows everything that you've ever done. God knows everything that you have hidden and somehow think that no one's ever going to find out about it. God knows everything that you would never even sit down at a table and talk to me about. And I'll assure you of this one thing. He still loves you. One day, people, listen to me. One day, hell is going to be full of people that God loves. One day hell is going to be full of people that God loves. And we have to understand this today before we start trying to reason with God and say, no, God, there's no way I can accept your mercy and forgiveness and your love because there's no way you could love me because I know me. Listen, as much as you think you know you, God knows every single hair on your head and loves every single one of them. I know that's disturbing to a lot of people because they say this. They say, well, if God loved these people, how could a loving God ever send someone to hell? Let me help you out today. A loving God sends no one to hell. the condemnation that those of you who do not know the love of God through Christ Jesus here today, the condemnation that already abides on you will be the reason that you spend an eternity in hell. And let me tell you, God loves you so much that He sent His Son to rescue that you from that condemnation that is to come. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Had a great preacher, a great friend, a great mentor. He told me this. Most simplistic thing you could ever tell a preacher. You preachers here today, you people who feel like God has called you to preach, let me remind you of this and let me sound like a broken record every time I get to this passage of Scripture. Keep John 3:16 the main thing. Oh, we got preachers all over the world today trying to meet the needs of their people. My job is not to meet your needs. My job is to lead you to the one who loved you so much that He died to meet your needs. So if you ever think that my job is to somehow meet your needs, my job is to somehow find you where you are and give you hope, that's not my job. I couldn't find hope on my own. But I had a great preacher who said, you keep John 3:16, the main thing. The main thing. I keep a Bible in my office. I don't ever read the Bible. It's just one of those Bibles that you get. Because when you first start preaching, they get you a Bible at every holiday, every birthday, every pastor appreciation, you get a brand new Bible. That's like buying a plumber pipe. I'm thankful for all the Bibles that I received, but all the great Bible givers, I've given most of them to other people when they needed them. But there's one that I do keep in my office, and it's opened up. John 3:16. And it's highlighted with a big highlighter. Every morning when I walk into my office, I'm reminded. I look over there, I see that Bible, I'm reminded. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Oh, Kirk, you're discouraged right now. Kirk, you got some bad news. You're dealing with whiny babies. That's what pastors do. But the main thing is the main thing. And the main thing is John 3:16. You keep the main thing, the main thing. So what we're going to do this morning, and I know some of you, you're going to say this already have.
I already know John 3:16.
Don't forget to go back and look at the things you think you already know. I want to talk to you this morning about the true gospel of love, John 3:16. We're going to look at 16 through 21. I know that's going to mess you up because you like to just stop at 3:16, but there's so much more there. We're going to talk about the gospel of love, God's unending, unconditional, undeserved love. Now, I want anyone in here today who thinks that you deserve God's love to stand up right now. That's going to help the people here today who are trying to deserve it. No one here deserves the love of God. In fact, our whole life, up until the point of Jesus Christ, our whole life, as we've already talked about in this series, was complete enmity toward God. We were at odds with God by our very condition. Yet in Christ, all that has changed. We deserve nothing. And so the fact that God loves you in spite of you is grace before you ever receive personal grace, isn't it? Because I don't even know why. In fact, I ask myself that question just about on a daily basis. Because I know me. I'm hard to deal with. I'm black and white. I'm all in. People get scared by that. They get intimidated by that. I'm no nonsense. And I know that rubs people the wrong way and they take it the wrong way. And sometimes I say, God, why would you even love me? Like, Kirk, I love you in spite of you. I love you in spite of all your flaws. I love you in spite of your sin that you committed. I love you in spite of anything that you could ever say or anything that you could ever do. There's a lot of people here today, you've been brought up in religion. Religion won't tell you that. I promise you, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. The voice of the Holy Spirit will tell you, those of you who are a believer here today, He'll show you, because when you get out of line, He loves you back where you're supposed to be. You see the love of Christ. So let's look at it. John 3:16. What time do the Texans play today? Huh? Here's the thing. No matter what time, they still won't have a quarterback. John 3:16. Let me say this before I go on. I meant to say this earlier. Thank you so much for your gifts and your cards and all the things that you did for Pastor Appreciation Week or whatever that was. We enjoyed that. We enjoyed the cards. Definitely sitting there looking and listening and reading what you said, all the kind lies that you said about us. We appreciate those things. So, John 3:16. He says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." You better be thankful of that. Are you listening to me? You better be thankful that 2,000 years ago, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. We would have been in a heap of trouble. He said He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Don't ever forget this. You religious people, listen to me. It's not your job. It's not Jesus' way of thinking. It's not Jesus' duty at this point in time to condemn anyone. For He walked this earth and condemned no one. Even when He found them in their sin, He gave them hope and mercy and forgiveness. Be careful, religious person, when you condemn others, because when you do that, you don't look like Jesus. Verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned." Thank you, Lord. But watch this. "But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." I want to stop there before we go any further. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And then He says, "For God didn't send His Son into this world to condemn anyone. He sent His Son into this world to show them the extent of God's love." He said, "I didn't send Him to condemn anyone." The fact of the matter is, when we read on, those of you who don't believe in Him, you're condemned already. He didn't have to come to condemn you. Sin has already done what sin does. Sin condemns. The wages of sin is death. You're condemned already. He gives us hope. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Verse 19, this is the verdict. I like this because He presents the evidence. You know what the evidence is? He presents the case. He says this: God loved the world, and He loved the world so much that He sent His Son. And whoever believes in Him, they're not going to be condemned. They're going to be rewarded with forgiveness and eternal life. But whoever does not believe in Him is already condemned. What is He saying? Just as I've already told you, God doesn't send people to hell. Condemnation of sin sends people to hell. And if you don't know Jesus Christ today, that's where you sit right now, in the midst of condemnation because of your sin, because you haven't allowed yourself to allow the love of God to be established and to be lavished upon you. You say, "Well, what do you mean I haven't allowed myself?" Now, we know this. We know in our idea, we have a way of thinking. How many of you here could deny the presence of God? How many of you, after reading John 3:16, could deny the love of God? So here's the thing. In our small little pea brain where we live, it seems as if at this moment we have a choice to make. Now understand this. I know this, that my choice does not trump the sovereignty of God. That would be ridiculous. But I also do know this, that in time and space, the sovereign God has allowed us to see things. He's revealed things to us. We talked about this, the whole revelation of faith. Even before you were a believer, He planted a seed of faith in you. I talked to you about my experience in a pickup truck. And some of you, you've had that seed of love planted and you felt the arms of God embrace you. When you went through the toughest time of your life, He revealed His love to you and He let you know, "I'm here and I love you." And what you did, you continued to kick against Him. You continued to walk in condemnation. You made every excuse in the world why you were not going to allow God to love you. Let me say this. It's established. He does. You might as well just fall into His arms and surrender this morning. So as we look at this, He teaches us some things about His love. He said in verse 19, back in John chapter 3, He says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." You know what He said? He said, "God so loved the world that He sent His Son." That Son was the representation of God's love, and that Son is the representation of light. And then you know what He said? "But man chose darkness over light." Do we see that in our world? Listen to me, people. If those of us who are believers here today who have received the love of God through Christ, don't we look at the world and go, "How do they not see?" Let me tell you this. They do see. They decide they would rather have darkness than to have light. How many of you felt the love of God before you responded in surrender to the gospel of Jesus Christ? But yet you continued to choose to go your own way. And I understand that. That was your very nature. So as we look at this, and he tells us, this is the verdict. It comes down to this. All the evidence points to this. That's what a verdict is. You've seen the light. You've seen the love. You'd rather have darkness. I don't know how many times I've been talking to people and I felt the Holy Spirit convicting them. And they say, man, this is really what I need. This is really what I need. But they say it just like this. I'm not ready to give up my life right now. You know what just happened in that moment? Here's what happened in that moment. I promise you, God lavished His love upon them. God showed them His grace and His mercy. They came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they said, just as this verse says that we don't ever want to talk about, they said, but I want darkness. I want darkness. Did you know even the Pharisees of Jesus' day knew exactly who He was? They knew exactly who He was. They knew every scripture that pointed to Him. They knew every prophecy that talked about Him. They knew that every miracle that He performed sealed the prophecies that were prophesied about Him. They knew who He was, and yet they chose darkness. Some of you today, He's going to reveal Himself by showing you how much He loves you, even in spite of you. And today, you're going to, in your mind, process all of this, because God gave you this mind to process things. My prayer is this, that no one in this room would accept darkness instead of light. Would accept the deception that's going to condemn you for all eternity, any longer. But today, through the grace and the mercy of God, that you would be set free by the truth of Jesus Christ. Verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That's that guy. That's the one who says, the Jesus thing sounds great, and you see it being worked on by the Spirit. And then he says, but, man, I don't want to stop doing those things. How many of you would say, man, my flesh enjoys sin? My flesh enjoys sin. Here's the thing, don't walk away mad at that person. Walk away and say, Lord, I know that you're revealing yourself to him or to her. They have seen a speck of your grace being offered to them. Lord, lavish that upon them that they may come to a point, as we all do before we're truly saved, that we cannot any longer resist the grace that God is pouring upon us. How many of you remember that day? Some of you felt like you were riding a skateboard down the aisle and somebody else was pushing it. I've heard it a thousand. I don't even know how I got up there. You stopped fighting, and the moment that you stopped fighting, He pushed you. Led you into His grace, into His mercy, into His forgiveness. Verse 21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he does has been done through God. Now, pay attention to that. This is where we start having theological crashes here. How many of you know we've been talking about the gospel for several weeks, and everything in regard to the gospel is God doing a work? Right? Everything. But can we agree on this? Because we have the two schools of thought. I know in the theological realm we fight all the time. Right? I don't fight with you. I just go, okay, whatever. If you're smarter than God, just be smarter than God. One day you'll find out. Ha-ha. You're not. But we have these two schools of thought in theology, and lots of you know about them. Some of you don't care about them. I prefer the people who don't care about them. Because all that matters is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But we see in this passage, the grand old passage of John 3:16, we see something. Don't we? We see God doing a work. And we see also man turning from the evil of darkness to the light and the truth of Jesus Christ, and having grace lavished upon him. Now let me say this before you all get theologically crazy. The last verse we just read said all that's God. It's all a work of God. Let me tell you something. I would have never had the strength or the leadership in me to turn to Christ without God doing a work. But in reality, where I live in this 24-hour day, seven-day-a-week time clock that I live on, I repented of my sin and I turned to Christ. Now, let's don't get caught up in all of the terminology. Did I choose God or did God choose me? Here's the thing. God chose me. I promise. He loved me in spite of me. But here's the thing. At a point in time, I chose to walk in His light and to leave darkness. Now you say, well, did you do that by yourself? No, according to verse 21, I didn't. But I did do that. So let's stop arguing about it. I said, let's stop arguing about it. I'm sick and tired of so-called theologians arguing about stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. Fact of the matter is this, if God wouldn't have called me out of darkness, I couldn't have came into the light. And the fact of the matter is this, He wouldn't have given me by His Spirit the power to walk out of that darkness, I couldn't have walked out. And I understand this, man. You and your human mind got to figure this out. Figure it out. God let you make that choice. If you want to take credit for it, take credit for it. I choose to stay in verse 21 and say, God did the whole thing. Why? Because He did. And He deserves all the credit. Let's not argue about it. That's what I say to people. Hey, if you want to take credit for any of this, I'm sure you can take that up with God. And if He wants to give you credit, He's sovereign. He can give you a little credit if that makes you feel better. But until God starts giving you credit for the work of the gospel, you just better just rest in the love of God. That's a free theological lesson for the day. Let's look at His love. We see this in that passage. Number one, it's a love that reflects. It's a love that reflects. Reflects what? Number one, it reflects the nature of God. How many of you understand the Bible doesn't say God loves? The Bible said God is love. That's why we can't really understand His love, because we are not. We are flesh. We are vengeance. We are selfishness. We are pride. We are us in our flesh. So we can't really, with this brain, understand the love of God. And let me say this, I'm not asking you to even try to do that today. I'm asking you to let the love of God be poured on your life and don't try to understand it. To surrender to it. To allow His love. Quit kicking against Him and saying, no, God, there's no way You could ever love me. He loves you! Don't try to figure it out. How many of you like Dr. Pepper? Raise your hand. You like Dr. Pepper? It's just an example. I think it's gross. I like Mountain Dew. But the thing is this. I don't really understand what's in Mountain Dew, and you don't really understand what's in Dr. Pepper, but you'll drink it up. We don't really understand the love of God, but folks, drink it up. Drink it up. Just tilt it back and let it go. So let's look at this. It is God's nature. It is who He is. He is love. He's not like love. He doesn't possess the quality of love. It is by definition who He is. Man, that's awesome, isn't it? That means this. God would have to change who He is for Kirk Hall to ever stop being loved by God. Because it's who He is. So God is love. We see that the love that we see in the gospel in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, it reflects to us the nature of God. Not only does this first part of John 3, verse 16, tell us that it reflects the nature of God, it reflects the desire of God. Look at that. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's God's desire. His desire is to give to us the things that we don't deserve. We've already talked about it. What is that called? Grace. It's a love that reflects the nature of God. It's a love that reflects the desire of God. Look at Romans chapter 5. We can't really talk about the love of God without jumping over here. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. What he says in verse 8. You say, man, I think we've jumped over here in just about every message that we've covered in regard to the gospel. Yes, we have. You need to keep coming over here. Watch what it says. But God demonstrates His love for us in this. This is for all you people who think you have to get your act together so God will love you. How ridiculous is it in comparison to what we're about to read? But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners. I want to help you out. When you were in the cesspool of you, condemned, doing immoral things, saying immoral things, putting immoral things in your body, whatever the case may be. It says God demonstrated His love for you while you were actively participating in the lifestyle of a sinner. And He demonstrated His love because Christ died for you. What a picture that is. Man, that is a beautiful, beautiful picture. That ought to help every Christian in the room today who struggles in the area of, does God still love me even after I've blown it? God loved you before you ever realized you had ever blown it. And He will continue to love you for all eternity. Why? He's an eternal God who never changes. And we know this. It is His very makeup, love. When we see God's love in this verse, for God so loved the world. He lets us know that so that we can see a picture of Him. A love that we can't understand, we can't grasp. It's unconditional, undeserved. But it's a love that He desires to give. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't know about you, I got one son. Got one daughter. I'm going to be completely honest. I love everybody in this room. I wouldn't give you either one of them. So what a picture He created. I loved you while you were at your worst. So not when you got everything right, like you religious people think you have. When you were at your worst, I offered my very heart. I'll let that sink in for a second. Oh, because we forget about it, because we already know John 3:16, don't we? Now, we know John 3:16 is a cool sign to hold up at a football game. Let me help you out. John 3:16 is not really applicable for football. Neither is Philippians 4:13. You can't be a defensive tackle if you're 5'3", no matter what Philippians 4:13 says. You cannot do all things through Christ who strengthens you in regard to football. That means you can endure all things as far as suffering for Christ. Because that's where that context is. And let me tell you, if you're 5'3" playing defensive tackle, there's plenty of suffering. So you might be able to apply that somewhere. But please, don't think for a second that Scripture is a good luck charm that's going to make you something that God doesn't desire for you to be. The love that we see in the gospel, it's a love that reflects. It reflects the nature of God. It reflects the desire of God. Number two, I'll move quickly. It's a love that rewards. It says in the second part of 16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. He rewards us through this love with grace and mercy and forgiveness and fellowship. Don't ever forget about fellowship. What an honor it is to be able to fellowship with God. Because apart from Jesus Christ, I am very unrighteous and not worthy to come into His presence. But while I was in a state of unrighteousness, He lavished His love upon me by sending His Son to die for me. It's a love that rewards. It rewards us with undeserved grace, mercy, forgiveness, fellowship. And this as well, eternal life. Why is eternal life such a great reward? Because whether any of you here want to admit it or not, your greatest fear in this world is not snakes. Your greatest fear in this world is not public speaking. Your greatest fear in this world is the thing that none of you know. And that is the fact that someday you're going to die and your greatest fear is death. So watch what God's love does for us in giving us eternal life. He meets us where we are, in our sin, with His love. He shows that love by Jesus Christ dying on the cross and by Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Now, not only are we forgiven from the condemnation that we read about in the latter verses, we are also assured something, that we will never die. That is a big kind of love. That's a kind of love that you can't fully understand with the human mind. But I know this, the Word of God just told me that. That God rewards me, and He rewards me with eternal life. Why? Oh, because I deserve it? No! The wages of sin is death. I deserve death and hell and judgment. And this is how big God's love is. In spite of me and in spite of what I deserve, God loves me to a point that He gives me eternal life that I don't deserve. Would you just get flipped upside down this morning about that? Let's get honest. Isn't that really our greatest fear as human beings until God captures us with His love? Because here's the thing. I don't have to fear death anymore. Why? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, I'd be the littlest of little. To Him belong. They're weak, but He is strong. He is strong enough to reward me with eternal life because He loved me enough to send His Son to die for me. It's a love that rewards. It's a love that reflects. Thirdly, it's a love that rescues. Look at verse 17. It's a love that rescues. We've already read it. Let's read it again. He goes on to talk to us in 17 and he says this, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." What is He teaching us there? He's teaching us this. God's love rescues us. It rescues us from what? Our current condition. Let me tell you right now, as real as I am standing here today, if you are not in Christ, your current condition is condemned due to sin. I don't know, it's not popular. Doesn't make me a lot of friends. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, you are condemned already. Didn't we just read that together? So why do preachers in America get behind pulpits and play like this passage of Scripture doesn't exist? We want to read John 3:16. Let's tell them 17. Let's tell them 18. Let's bring all the facts out there. Because we need to understand this, apart from Jesus Christ and the love of God which is found in Jesus Christ, apart from that, you're hopeless right now. I'll go on and tell you this. You are on a journey to hell for all eternity because you're condemned because of sin. I know that's not popular. Not going to get a TV show. Right? If I did, nowadays they'd edit it out. And they would say, instead of hell, that awful place that we don't want to think about, that Jesus called hell. And so understand this. I'm not saying these things to be mean to you. This is not mean. If any of you were to leave here today and I knew that you were going to get in a car accident that would kill your whole family and I knew how to stop it and I did nothing, would I really love you? No, you would hate my guts. You would say, man, that Kirk knew about it and he didn't do anything to stop it. So it's not mean when we talk about these things. Your current condition, apart from Jesus Christ, is condemned. You are on a highway to hell. You are headed to destruction, period. And you can't do anything about it. Try as you may, get involved in church, sign up for a small group, get baptized, whatever religious thing you want to do will not help you because it only comes through the love of God in Christ according to the true gospel. So if you're here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've not left darkness and entered into light, however you want to define that in your life, I promise you, you're in need of rescue today. Let me tell you this, I can't rescue you. Wish I could. I wish I could rescue each and every one of you, but I can't. But I do know this, I can point you to the one who can. And His name is Jesus. And He died on a cross for you outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And it's a message that I pray that I continue to preach until that mortician shuts my mouth and sews it together. He loved you so much that He sent His Son. Because why? Because you were condemned already. And if you trust in His Son, He'll rescue you from your current condition of condemnation. But not only that, He rescues us from our eternal condition that we deserve. tell you what, I don't mind saying this. Kirk Hall, the guy some of you in error look up to. I said that in error. Please don't look up to me. Look up to Christ. If you see Christ in me, watch that. If you see Kirk, run. Kirk Hall deserves hell. So you don't think I'm picking on you. Kirk Hall deserves death. Kirk Hall deserves to stand before a holy God and be cast out of His presence for all eternity. But let me say this, because of the love of God which we find in Christ, Kirk Hall will never, ever, ever have to endure that. Not now in his current condition, nor for his eternity, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. If that doesn't knock you off your feet, something's wrong with you. Love that rescues, I'm thankful for Colossians 1. Flip there with me. I know we're looking at a lot of Bible again. What in the world is going on? I hope a revival in our hearts for the Word of God, for the Gospel of Jesus Christ. 1:13. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. Did y'all catch that? He rescues us. We were floundering. We were fluttering. We were on our way to condemnation. And He steps in and saves the day and rescues us, not just in this life, but for all eternity. Why? It's in John 3:16. Because He loves us. You see, the love reflects, that love rewards. It's a love that rescues. Pay attention to this one. It's a love that leads to repentance. It's a love that leads to repentance. You know what happened in my life when I finally repented of my sin and I finally came to Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit of God convinced me how real the love of God in Christ is. You remember that day? Oh, you've been trying to figure it out and you were already saying, I've been to church several times, heard the gospel a lot of times. And I kept saying in my mind, there's no way. There is no way that God could love me that much. I know me. There's no way. But then there was that day. I didn't have to doubt if God loved me, because He came to me through His Holy Spirit. Spoke directly into my unborn, sinful, wretched self. And He spoke life and love into me through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And His love ushered me out of darkness and into light. And He gave me faith to believe, and He showered His grace upon me. Please understand what I'm telling you. Today, some of you, for the very first time, you're going to hear the Spirit of God speak to your inner man. Let me tell you this, it won't be Charlton Heston. But the Spirit, the voice of God, that non-audible voice that's going to speak to your old dead man and raise you to new life this very day, is going to speak the words of love. You don't have to earn my love. You don't have to deserve my love. You don't have to somehow merit my love or do something to get it. I already loved you, and I loved you enough that I sent my Son to die for you. And let me tell you, that is a love that leads to repentance. You know what you do when He lavishes that kind of love upon you? You jump to your feet and you turn from darkness and you turn to light. And just as we saw in verse 21, He gets all the credit because it's all Him. But in that moment, He uses His love to lead you to repentance. Because guess what? If His love wasn't so great, there would be no reason to run to it. If He loved like you understand love, and like you practice love, and like everybody you know understands and practices love, that performance-based love, I love you till you mess up, and I'm going to be mad at you. Then if you do something to make it right again, well, I'll love you a little bit until you prove yourself, and then I'll, you know, kind of love you a little bit more along the way until we can rebuild our love. If God loved like that, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we? How many of you are thankful today that's not how God loves? God loves just as Romans 5:8 told us. That He loves Kirk Hall while I was in my sin. I pray today, those of you who are here, that you're still in your sin, you're not in Christ. I pray that my Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit, who is here and who is actively moving in our midst, though you don't see Him with these, but you know by faith He's here. I pray today that the love of God, which is found in Jesus Christ, would set you free from the sin and the darkness that reigns in your life, that you would repent of that sin, and you would turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, the one who demonstrated the love of God by nailing your sin on the cross, by bearing your sin on His back, by shedding His blood, that you may be found clean in the presence of God, not just in this lifetime, but for all eternity. Stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to understand something today. This love that we've talked about, it's not a feeling like you define love. It's not something that comes and something that goes. Something that's sometimes active and something that's sometimes inactive. This is a love that Scripture says you can't really even understand. It's a love that is established in God the Father. It is who He is. Some of you, as I said when we started this morning, you've been seeking love your whole life. You've tried to find love in religion. You've tried to find this kind of love in relationship. And you've come up empty every single time. That's because the love that you're looking for isn't found in places. The love that you're looking for isn't found in this world at all, but the love that you're looking for came down from heaven in the form of Jesus, the Son of God. And He walked this earth, and He preached repentance, and then when His time had fully come, He laid Himself down as a sacrifice for your sin so that you could be forgiven this very day. Receive eternal life that comes from God the Father, even in spite of you. You're here today and you say, Kurt, I feel God's voice speaking to me right now, and I know I need to turn from my old life and turn to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I promise you, if God's speaking that to your heart today, it's God doing that work. Let Him love you. Let Him show you the fullness of His love, that He was willing to send His only Son to a cross to die for you personally. That's His kind of love. You say, Kirk, that's me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus today. By faith, I'm leaving darkness and I'm turning to light. God's doing a work in me. Would you slip up your hand right now if you say, that's me? You're speaking to me, preacher. I need Jesus to save me this day. I want to turn from my sin. Turn from my old life before it's too late. And I want to turn to Jesus Christ. You're here. Raise it up high for me. Thank you. Keep it up. Thank you, sir. Someone else who says, I need Jesus to save me today too, because I know you're speaking to me, preacher. Anyone else who says that's me, I need Jesus to save me this very day. I need to be forgiven of my sin. Thank you, ma'am. Keep it up for me. Thank you. Anyone else who says that's me, preacher, I need to be set free. Oh, I've spent my whole life feeling like no one could love me, but right now God is loving me like never before and showing me that He loved me enough to die for me and to pay for all of my sin. Raise me to new life. Anyone else who says that's me? Those of you on this side who raised your hand, I want you to look at me eye to eye if you meant business with God this morning. You mean it, I believe you mean it. I see it on your face. Let God love you this morning. You willing to turn from your sin and yourself and turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? You willing to do that? Because I promise you, if you're willing to do that today, you didn't do that on your own power. You did it by the work of God that He's doing in your life today. The Bible says this. The Bible says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And He makes us this promise, we shall be saved. You desire to do that today, to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart today that the love of God has been lavished upon you through the cross of Jesus Christ. Look at me eye to eye. You want to do that today? You believe today is the day that this begins? Praise the Lord. I want you to pray this with me. Let me say this. This prayer won't save you. Prayers don't save people. Jesus saves people. What this prayer does, it's that confession with that mouth. Saying out loud, Lord, I see the work you're doing. And I respond by turning from darkness and turning to light. Embrace me with your love and your forgiveness. Do you desire for that to happen today? Pray this with me. Pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that today you are calling me out of darkness and into light. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Father, for loving me and sending your only Son to die in my place. Today, I call him Lord. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. I lay my life down and I turn to you, you alone. I receive the new life that your Spirit is birthing in me right now. Teach me to live this new life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You prayed that prayer and you said, I want Jesus to save me. You meant business. Look at me one more time. Jesus save you this morning. What I want you to do, I want you to make that public. Not to embarrass you. What I want you to do is I want you to come down right now, even as the music's playing. These people up here, they're going to take the Word of God and they're going to show you exactly what happened. If you would, just get out of your seat right now. We're going to have someone take the Word of God, take the Bible, show you what just took place in your life. Pray with you. Show you where you need to go from this point forward. Be obedient. You meant business with the Lord. I promise you, His Spirit will give you strength to walk that out, to humble yourself before all these people, before God. Find out what just happened in your life, right here to your right. You're here and you're a believer here today. You said, man, the love of God, we saw it this morning. How amazing is the love of God which is in Christ. Here's your lesson. You know, the Scripture tells us that we're to love as we've been loved. And we are to lavish the love of Christ upon others. So I encourage you this morning, search your heart. You know how people are going to see this great love? You know how they're going to see it? They're going to see it through us, through the life that we live, through the message that we proclaim. They're going to see the love of Christ through us. You say, well, Kirk, they're not seeing it right now in my life. I understand. I've been there several times. Those are the times where I have to get on my face before God and say, God, I'm not loving like Jesus loved. I'm not loving and being a representation of your love to others, loving them in spite of them. God, I need your Spirit to birth a revival of love in my heart. I pray if that's you here today, I don't have to tell you to do anything. The Holy Spirit will lead you to what He wants you to do. If you're a child of God here today. These altars are open. Allow the Holy Spirit to move and to have His way in your life. You need prayer partners up front to pray with you.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling.